I am going to do something a little bit different this week because with all of these eclipse energies, I am just not in the mood to be seen on camera. So it's gonna be my voice only. And I don't have an agenda, but I do have a very strong message. And it's not gonna be a lesson or a class or a teaching video. It's going to be an exploration. And my hope is that I can inspire some form of feeling onto you so you can explore this for yourself. Whenever we enter into the path of Tantra, a lot of us were already on the path of Tantra without even knowing we were on a path of Tantra. Why? Because the moment that we use the name, it's like, oh, it's related to Hinduism, and then there is, you know, Shaivite Tantra and Shakti Tantra and, you know, Kashmir Shaivite. Like, it's all of a sudden we get caught up into the weaves of it and the dogma and the religious associations of Tantra. My understanding of Tantra came first at a visceral felt experience, and then I was able to put the names and connect with the philosophies and then learn all of the things and do the teachings. At the core, Tantra is weaving back together. It's an unification. Whenever the universe was created, there was this massive fragmentation, and in the fragmentation, one became many. And the path of Tantra is turning the many into one, basically bringing back into source everything that we observe in from a place of equanimity and a place of centeredness. And one of the principles of Tantra is reject nothing. Everything is material for liberation. Everything is an aspect of divinity. The moment that we enter into a judgment of this is good, this is bad, this shouldn't, this should, we're stepping away from this weaving together because we are demonizing or separating ourselves from it. And it's easy to think like, well, there are some things in this world that are definitely not from divinity because they're deep, deep distortions. Well, the distortions are also an expression of the divine. And the distortions are almost like the, you know, the darkness that creates the canvas so that the light can understand that it is light. And from this perspective, we understand, okay, Tantra is just weaving together. If we take it into the self, into a personal path, into a personal journey, then we understand that I am putting myself back together. All of the parts of me that I'm like, that's not me, or maybe that is me, but I'm separate from it. All of those parts, we are becoming one with them again using our consciousness. Okay, so that's why I say a lot of us, a lot of you listening to this, are already on a tantric path, but you haven't put a name to it. And you don't have to put a name if you don't want to. But if you want to master this and if you want to understand your universe, the name is helpful because it helps the mind begin organizing information and separating things and bringing, giving us a big picture so we understand where we're at and where we're going. Not that there's a place to go, but you know what I mean. It's like a map to understand you are here and that's what you're looking for. You're not going anywhere. You just know where you're at. So this conversation is going to be about sexuality whenever we are on a path of Tantra. I want to be very careful not to get this caught up into the weeds of like tantric sex, because that of itself has there's a lot of like energy of infatuation with it, or lack of understanding, or taboo, or then all of a sudden all the energies get churned and there's this big reaction to it. This is not about tantric sex per se. This is about having sex with people and being involved in your own sexuality whenever you are on a tantric path. What is a tantric path? A path of unification, of weaving back together your consciousness with all expressions and parts of yourself, with all of the parts of you that you observe in others, with everything that you experience and that you are. When we are conscious in this journey of inner weaving, what tends to happen is that anything in the universe, within and without, that is not unified, but wants, desires deep down unification, begins emitting a signal, a magnetic signal, that sends you to those situations or that attracts those situations to your life. If you choose to be on the tantric path, you choose to become a vehicle of weaving together, of bringing two into one. It's just like the identity of the medicine woman. When you have an identity of a medicine woman, then all of a sudden you're going to attract people that need medicine woman. And this is, it's part of the magic, and it's also part of the danger whenever we get too caught up in identities and we don't dance with them, we don't release them and go through deaths in the way that we are supposed to. If we were to have a better relationship collectively with fear. So, because you're attracting things that need that weaving together, there's going to be a time whenever, you know, I'll say, like, at the beginning of the tantric path, there is a lot of hermit-like energy, a lot of solitude that you need to go through. And even if you're surrounded by people, I'm talking about a spiritual solitude, because you need to first separate before you can unite. So you need to separate yourself from everything that you absolutely know is not you. Because that way, it's almost like having an experiment. You have a controlled environment of like, okay, no. And this creates a form of spiritual isolation. After this separation gets created from that, leads you into spiritual isolation, then you can start diving into the gold of Tantra. Why? Because then all of a sudden, you understand that everything is you. Everything wants to be seen and perceived by you and unified back to source, back to the conscious awareness that you are. So you begin attracting things that are fragmented to weave them back together into your life. And even if people outside of you show up, they're just a manifestation, an external manifestation of you. I want to be so careful with these teachings because, man, for a couple years, I got so traumatized by a so-called guru that was just like, everything's you. So, you know, what I say to you, it doesn't matter because it's you. And this isn't coming from, this is something that I had to come to realize myself. And it's something that's very sacred to me. I don't let anybody tell me, oh, that's you, that's your ego. No. This is something that I tell myself when I come to the realization of it, or only people that I gave explicit permission to guide me are able to tell me. Okay, so beware of that. From a transcendental perspective, everything is you. From a womanhood perspective, dropping into the animal, everything is not you. And you shouldn't accept just anybody. And not everybody should have access to your divinity. Why? Because you have been cultivating pearls within. And if you throw pearls at pigs, they're not going to appreciate them in the same way that maybe, wow, look at all that chaos around confirmation. But, you know, the pearls are not going to be appreciated in the same way that a woman that likes jewelry will appreciate the pearls. So it's the same thing. It's the same principle. It's not that the person is bad or, you know, or there's, or we're creating more separation. It's that from the animal perspective, we're tapping into the energetic selection energy, okay? Into energetic selection of this, I don't allow this. This is a no for me, because that is part of the, you know, masculine energy of boundaries and identities, okay, which are important to navigate life as a three-dimensional human being, more specifically as a woman. Okay, we need to have those clear. Collectively, we don't have them clear because we also have a collective father wound with governments that abuse its people for power. Well, I mean, I don't have to tell you. You can just look at the world and how the world has been for thousands of years. And the distortion is very clear and very obvious. We know it's a distortion because it doesn't feel peaceful, beautiful, expansive. It doesn't feel like truth. It's like, no, something's wrong. That's how we know it's a distortion. So this separation, right? This separation that is so needed for the unification comes to play a very important role whenever we engage in sexuality. Why? Because all of a sudden, if you are on this path of weaving together, energy moves towards the path of least resistance. And everything that's a distortion is going to go to the place where it is going to be perceived and seen by pure consciousness with the most ease. There's a principle, universal principle, that basically life saves energy, is energy efficient. What does this mean? That life follows the path of least resistance. When you are on a tantric path, whether you name it that or not, you become the path of least resistance for separation and distortions, which means that you get to experience a lot of those. This is the importance of having very clear boundaries and understanding what's me and what's you. What's the other and what's me as the animal, even though transcendentally and spiritually, I know it is all one. But in the type of tantra that I practice and that I encourage women to connect to it's rooted on Shakta Tantra, right? Which is, it is the understanding of Shakti. But I have like a personalized spin-off on it, which is the Venusian component to it. Venus being the symbol for woman and the feminine. And woman as something that we don't really understand exactly what we are. We know that we have intuitive gifts. We know that we are deeply connected to spirit world. We know that our powers are emotional and internal in nature. We know our capacity to feel. But I think there's a lot more to discover. So dropping into the animal and being able to remain connected to the spiritual, that is the ultimate tantric union within ourselves. So it's always like, yes, let's bring the spiritual perspective, because it's like we know it's the transcendental truth, but we're going to drop everything into the animal. So this, from this point forward, I am going to talk to the animal in us, the woman in you, the yoni carrier, okay? When you engage sexually with somebody and you're practicing tantra, whatever distortions this person has, whatever emotions they have not felt and acknowledged and put through their own consciousness, whatever family distortions, intergenerational trauma, disassociations, or rejection of emotions or ways of being, that person has not processed and alchemized themselves, you are gonna have to do that. This is why it's so important to discern the partners that we have sexually. And this is, oh man, we're stepping into the weeds, because I can tell you this. Okay, it's important to discern. But sometimes, okay, actually most of the times, whenever you're attracted to somebody sexually, you just can't help it. It's almost as if the animal's guiding you. And then there is a school of thought that's like, well, just resist, because you know it's not good for you. But then the tantric path tells you, reject nothing, follow the animal, drop into that snake-like energy of the animal impulse, because that is the kundalini. And the feminine path inside of tantra goes towards the earth. It descends into the body, and then it descends into the lowest chakras, into the yoni, and the yoni is guiding you. It's always guiding you. So from this perspective, it's almost like, yes, go for what you want sexually. Especially whenever you know in your mind, you're like, oh my God, this is not gonna end well. Go with it. Trust the power of your yoni to know what is it that you need to liberate yourself or others from. Because we think that, oh, I'm only on a liberation path where I free myself and I liberate myself. But in reality, whenever we do that for ourselves, we're doing it for the web, the interweb of humanity, of like the collective consciousness. So there are certain things that is better, even though if they're energies that you don't carry within yourself anymore, it's better for you to just like heal them than to just like reject that and then let that energy stagnate in your external universe, even if you're not feeling it. Think of it from the perspective of, let's say that you have mastered, you know, how to put invoices. And then here is another person that has never done them before, and you have a deadline. Are you going to take the time of teaching that person how to do the invoices? Or can you just be like, you know what? I'm gonna power through this, because this is so easy for me. And yes, I could be having a cappuccino right now, but this is so easy for me that I'm gonna do it. This is the attitude that I feel comes after a lot of inner healing work and with spiritual maturity. Not from the perspective of victimhood, of like, oh, wherever I go, I just have to heal the collective. No, you don't have to do anything. It's a choice. And it's a responsibility you choose to take on. From this empowered perspective, then you are in, you know, you are able to do this. And the way that it looks like, it's like, okay, my yoni, my sexual energy is guiding me towards this very specific person sexually. And I know they don't have the awareness, they haven't dived into themselves, and I know there is all of these distortions, but I am feeling the call and the pulse. This is where tantric practice comes so handy and so helpful, because it is in those moments that you begin working with the energies of Shakti, bringing in the spiritual activation of whatever Mahavidya you choose to work with. In my case, like I work with all of them, but with things like that, in very particular scenarios, I call upon Kali, because she is the heated goddess. You know, it's a energy of destruction, and rebirth is the energy of time. And if I know that I'm about to step into an energy that's distorted, I will offer it and give it to Kali, because she wants that. She's ready to take away whatever is it's done. Whatever, for the parts of life that whose time is up, certain distortions of energies, Kali's like, give them to me. I will eat them. Like, this is my realm. So that's when you want to start bringing in and incorporating these goddesses. In my case, I had an experience recently where I really haven't been intimate with anybody ever since I started doing the tantric practices, because I felt very strongly that I needed to create that separation from the world. Like, okay, this is gonna be just my energy, and just notice like all the longings I had and desires and all of my things. But then all of a sudden there was a shift that was very radical, where within like one day, it had been like 2 years of just this very like hermit-like energy, and then all of a sudden it's like masculine energy coming at me from every direction. And this is within the span of a week. And I had to sit with that, because I'm like, am I being tested? It's like, what's going on? What is this? And from that, you know, I ended up developing a connection with somebody. And that's when I got really scared at first, because I'm like, okay, this is the time of truth, because I have been practicing and I have been doing all these soul practices, but I have been on this journey solo. Because even whenever I started practicing tantra, you know, more seriously, and I started my mantras, I didn't even tell my partner at the time that I had at the time, and quickly after that the relationship ended. So, you know, and a lot of things in my life changed, like transformation definitely began right in that moment. But I started nailing down my practices, my tantric practices, doing the niyasa, doing the enchanting as a way of just like reminding myself, okay, I am bringing in this energy, I am bringing into my awareness Shakti. I'm bringing into my awareness the face of Shakti, that's Kali, because that's who I feel in this moment. Of course, I also brought in Lalita, which is the goddess of desire, and Kamala, and, you know, all of these beautiful energies. But it was a very, you know, distinct, like, where before maybe I struggled with discipline, like doing the daily thing, and I didn't. And then after this introduction of energy, it felt like an absolute necessity, like I had to do it. So what ended up happening was that I got hit with a wave of energy. I have never in my life felt the amount of loneliness, desolation, coldness that I felt whenever I began opening up sexually. And the particular feeling that I want to share here is the feeling of coldness, an energetic internal coldness, like a death-like energy. It, you know, what's weird about it is like, this is an energy that I've maybe have felt a little bit on ayahuasca before, but I've never really felt it. And it feels very masculine in nature. I think most of us can relate to, you know, having some sort of experiences throughout our life whenever we receive like masculine coldness, like the way that it looks like and the way that it hurts. And from the receiving end, like you just feel it a certain way, but I started feeling it as if this was part of me. And it really created a lot of compassion for the other side of the equation that I don't understand, which is what is it like to be a human in a male body and have to embody the role that that means in our society, you know? So that was a positive turn of events that were within myself of like, wow, this energy is brutal. Like, it's, you know, it's, there's like, we can't escape pain, man or woman. We're all in this, on this path of liberating ourselves, and we have to liberate ourselves because we are enslaved to energies that are not in alignment with the highest truth, with love. So whenever I started like feeling all of this, I had a lot of like somatic releases, shaking up in my legs, a lot of like, you know, when you're being dropped from an those games where they drop you and then you feel like the empty wholeness in the stomach, like that, but in a, not in a playful way that makes you laugh, but in a painful way that makes you like cry. And I start having dreams, and I want to share this dream because it's so interesting and aligned. And I swear all of this has a purpose why I'm telling you this story, and why I chose to tell you a personal story instead of like stepping into the usual, just, you know, the practice, do this, do that, and this is why, so you can feel it. So after I started opening up sexually and I'm getting all of these energies and I'm like crying a lot and I'm processing and somatically moving energy, I start having very strange dreams. And the one of the most impactful dreams that I had was a dream where I was in a house, outside of a house. Keep in mind that like the way that I interpret dreams have a little bit of that Jungian lens and a little bit of like the tantric lens. So it's a mixture of both. But houses, you know, houses are like identities. They indicate, okay, this is me. The house is me. So I'm outside the house, and whenever I am outside the house, it almost looked like there was like a zombie invasion. But all of the zombies were men, and they were coming at me, and the way that I was quote unquote killing them was just, I was just putting my hand out, like throwing like light, like trying to hit them, but then they will just collapse in the most dramatic ways, like a mosquito on the floor just splashed down. But I wasn't exerting any strength, and I felt like I had multiple arms. Like I was just like, oh, three just went down at the same time. And it was the opposite of those dreams where you want to punch or fight and you cannot. It was the opposite of that. I was like, wow, why? Like, what is this strength that I'm not even exerting any effort, and I'm just defeating all of them. And then in the dream, a little girl showed up with a guitar, and she started singing a song. And I've never heard this song, but I remember part of the lyrics of the song said like, oh, you beautiful girl. Oh, you beautiful girl. And she was like singing towards the window, like a serenade, you know, like, and whenever she was doing that, more zombies started coming out. So then finally I get into the house, the little girl disappears. And whenever I get into the house, I see that some of them are trying to come in, but they cannot come in. And there is a particular one that comes in a motorcycle with a hammer, not a hammer, a helmet, with a helmet on, so I couldn't see his face. And he was trying to steal a mask that I had on the floor. This mask, this is where the symbolism of the dream comes in. This mask looked like a Tibetan protective mask. And now keep in mind that like all of the tantric texts that I've read and images that I've seen, the majority of them have been with the Hindu deities. So I don't know much like of the associations with the Tibetan, you know, Tibetan tantric Buddhism. But I remember particularly, I'm like, that mask is, it's just like the ones that you see in like Tibetan Buddhism, the tantric forms of the deities that are fiercely protective. And this helmet, you know, motorcycle driving guy, he was trying to cover it with a black thing. And whenever he was trying to cover it, like, I got scared and I went inside the house. And then I'm like, no, I cannot let him take my protection. So I remember the fear. I went back outside and I just said, like, give it to me. And then I, like, grabbed it, and then I removed the black thing, and the mask was visible again, and it was, like, blue and red. And then this guy just, you know, reversed and left the garage of the house. And then all of a sudden, no one else could come into the house. All right. So I'm going to decode that, because dreams are meant to be interpreted by the dreamer. And I really thought about this dream, because this happened right after I engaged sexually with someone, right after I have all of these energetic waves of, like, things that I need to feel, after I encounter feelings of coldness, solitude, loneliness like I never experienced before, just this, you know, almost like I'm death type of energy. And this is just a few days after. I had been working at that time with the energy of Kali and one of Kali's avatar, which is called Chamunda. If you Google an image of Chamunda, she is terrifying to look at. And there's a reason for it, because she is a mother goddess. She is so fiercely protective that she deals with the most distorted, especially related to masculine energy. The deepest distortions, she is the one that has the power to protect her children from those. And I had been working with her during that time and with Kali. And the dream was so bloody. It was like there was just so much blood everywhere. And there was this attack. But I was so empowered, because I had, like, many arms, and I had no struggle in this so-called battle that I had to go through. And this also reminds me of the story of Durga, whenever she birthed Kali from her third eye to defeat the asuras, or demons, that couldn't, like, all of the gods couldn't defeat them. So then all of a sudden, Kali is the other only one who can defeat this undefeatable forces, you know, being born of Durga. And all of this, it deepened my understanding of Tantra. It opened my eyes to what this path is really about. And, you know, I got on this for thinking one thing, that I was gonna, like, meet up one thing, and then I leave, basically, not leave, but, like, you know, I realized with time that it's a lot deeper than I could have imagined, and that these energies are, you know, they're beyond comprehension. But it's not about, like, really comprehending with the mind as much as it is about experiencing it for ourselves. And I'm saying all of this because as I explore what this means, and as I move forward here on, you know, on the space in which I share these experiences, I'm going to take more of this lens. I'm going to dive deeper into this type of work. I don't have a guru. I don't have a specific tantric path that I follow, that this is the name. I connect foundationally to Shaktism, but everything else is my own creation, because I chose to become spiritually emancipated, individual in my spiritual pursuit and my understanding of life, God, source, humanity, creating my own religion for myself. Not to bring in people into it to become a cult leader, but for me to understand myself and become my own solar source, my own source of spiritual understanding and guidance through the grace and help of the Divine Mother and the Divine Father. So that's why I said this is an exploration. What are the key takeaways of everything I've shared is that if you want spiritual mastery, sexual mastery, if you really want to embody Shakti, the goddess herself in you, this isn't about, you know, the flowy dresses and the sister groups. This is about the willingness to just look at yourself so closely and so deeply, to take radical responsibility for absolutely everything in your life, for your universe, for what you experience and what you feel, Because if you're feeling it, it belongs to you. You choose to take ownership of that. You can choose to project it and be like, this isn't my energy. But guess what? If you're feeling it, that's a part of you that's vibrational, a match to it, and you have the capacity to feel it. If not, you wouldn't be feeling it. And if you have the capacity to feel it, then you have the capacity to liberate the energy, to free it from, you know, from the distortion of constantly rejecting and separating and creating more division. This is the chance. These are the chances that you get to unify yourself with Source and with everything that exists. It is in during those moments. And at the same time, there is such a high importance of an understanding that whenever we are engaging sexually with another person, it's like we are connecting with their soul. And when we are connecting with another soul, it's like two waters. It's not like it's solid and you just get a piece of them and they get a piece of you. No, it's like putting two waters from two separate bottles into one container and then you separate them again. They will never just be separate after that union. Everything changed forever. See? It's like all of a sudden you have another code, another energy within yourself. And your job is to assimilate it, digest it, and integrate it. And you, whenever you integrate these energies that you receive from other people, whenever you're on a tantric path and you choose to engage sexually with them, you are acquiring power because you are choosing to take responsibility for all of the energy that you're feeling, for the emotion that you are feeling. And whenever we take responsibility, we are taking on power. And this is what sexual power is. This is what spiritual power is. It's about growing up and becoming adults in its most, not primal, but in its most sophisticated spiritual and higher chakras type of way. This is about individuating as a human being and stepping outside of the spiritual adolescence and childhood in which most of us in the planet seem to get stuck on. So if the path of Tantra calls to you, if you are already in an energy like this, if you are already feeling and you are connected to the transformative power of your own sexual energy and healing, then just put the name to it. You're in a tantric path. You don't have to put it on your Instagram bio. This is a solo journey. It's private. It's sacred. And, you know, for me, I want to share it. I definitely, you know, I've always been keen to talk about my own spiritual journey. And if that's you, then this is an invitation to go explore, be an explorer, step into the jungle of the unknown. People are going to come at you and hate you, say you don't know what you're talking about. How dare you call that Tantra high? How dare you play with that? You blah, blah, blah. And you know what? It's like, what? Like, you are, stay on your lane. Keep going, stay on your lane, experiment, and then report back. Share with other women. This is how we like help each other understand what is this mystery of being yoni carriers? What's really the yoni? Why is there so much suppression for female sexuality if it's something that is just easily controlled? Why so much fear? For me, this question indicates the true potential of our sexual energy to reconnect with our innate power. So, if you are ready to dive into this work, I do have a mentorship program. It's called Barani. And inside Barani, I help you design your own, I don't like the word religion, but I don't, like your own organizational structure. To be able to not get lost in just like the la-la land of New Age spirituality, but give some structure to it so you can begin organizing things and putting them into place. And because I work with, you know, foundationally with Shakta Tantra, there is always going to be a connection there with the tantric goddesses. You can bring your own pantheon if you already feel a connection to, you know, Egyptian goddesses, to Greek goddesses, Roman goddesses, like whoever, whatever archetypical energies you can connect to that tell you a story about sexual liberation, there's going to be a way of making a bridge between those two realities. So if you are unsure whether Barani is for you, just make sure that you book, fill out an application, and then you get a chance to speak with me for about 30 minutes, and then we can see if this is for you or not. So I'm going to leave the link and all the information for that on the description box below. And I hope to meet some of you soon. Have a beautiful day, and I'll see you next week. Bye.